So Parshas Kisi, so the main topic is the story of the Chetah Egel, the very tragic sin. And of course the imagery expressed in Chazal, you imagine a wedding. Imagine the chassan is there at the chuppah. The kala comes down to the chuppah, the chassan goes up to greet her. They're standing there under the chuppah. The Masada Kedushin says to the chassan, "Nu, get the ring." And he says, the ring. And he's pot, where did I put it? And he's just turning around, looking to the side. The Masada Kedushin is helping, and they're trying to find it. And then when he turns back around, the kala is doing inappropriate things with some other man at the chuppah. Can you imagine such a horrible sight? What that would be like? I don't try to imagine it, but if you imagine it, what a terrible thing taking place. And that's what Chazal say was taking place. You have Matan Torah. You have them standing at Har Sinai, and this is a wedding. It's a wedding between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Hashem and the Jewish people are joining together in holy matrimony, and this happens, that Hashem turns away, so to speak, to get the ring ready. And what's happening right there, right under the chuppah, the mountains being held over their heads, right under there, they are worshipping the Egel, a golden calf, Avodah Zarah. How could it be? And it's such a terrible thing. Chazal seem to indicate that they never really fully get forgiven, that whenever we're punished for sins, we get a little bit. After all of Moshe's prayers, after the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim, Moshe davening for 40 days and nights, praying on the behalf of the Jewish people, and we still never quite get over it, that still, to this day, there's a little bit of a punishment. Hashem spread it out. He let us pay back punishments in installments. And whenever you pay for some other sin that you do, you get a little bit over here, a little bit for the Chetah Egel. It's such a terrible thing. But how could Hashem even forgive that at all? It sounds impossible. But the truth is, when you delve in more deeply and you see what's going on here and you see how many people are killed, at least in the plague, it seems to me that there really weren't so many people actually involved in the sin itself. Definitely not in the idolatry. It mentions 3,000 people killed at one point. It's not so clear how many people, but it seems to be a small percentage of the nation, right? The nation is minimum 600,000 men between the ages of 20 and 60. Presumably, they also had women as part of the nation. I think it mentions at one point or another that there were also women with the Jewish people. So okay, you could maybe at least double it. Everyone had children, possibly many children. They had, you know, six at a time, according to one midrash. In Rashi quotes it in Egypt. So they had lots of kids. So we're talking about at least 3 million, in the millions of people. And how many people are killed? 3,000, maybe a little bit more than that. But it doesn't seem that so many people were involved in Chetah Egel. So why is it that Chetah Egel is actually so bad? Understood, the ones who actually worshipped the Egel, that minority, that overwhelming minority, they understood that you have this terrible imagery of the Kala cheating on her chassan under the chuppah. That, okay. But most of the nation really wasn't part of that. So why is it such a stain on our entire people that we all always suffer as part of this? That's right. Well, I mean, we kind of jump from end to end. We said it's such a terrible thing. We said, but most of us were not really involved. In fact, we know Chazal tell us that the Erev Rav, the mixed multitude, the people who came from Egypt who were not Jewish, they converted and joined the nation. That they're the ones who really started this. They were the instigators. They were the influencers. So how is it that we all suffer for this? And another question is based on just the structure of our parsha. This is of these five parshios, the last 2 weeks and these coming 2 weeks, we are in a kisisa sandwich with Mishkan bread, right? This is the middle one, and the two parshios before are Truma and Tetzaveh, all about the building of the Mishkan, and then next week and the week after, Vayakil Pekudei, also all about building the Mishkan, and this is the meat of the sandwich. This is the middle, and it seems to be the not Mishkan one. However, that's not a proper divide. That's not really so thorough because the parsha also has Mishkan stuff. Starts off with the census that's taken with the machzis ha-shekel. There's a mitzvah to give a half shekel. We commemorate this and have a zecher, a remembrance of the machzis ha-shekel coming up very soon. First of all, next Shabbos is Shabbos Shkalim. We're going to read about this very reading, about the machzis ha-shekel. And on Purim, or the day before Purim, or the night before Purim, or somewhere around that time, we're going to give 50-cent coins, possibly three, as a remembrance for the machzis ha-shekel. Starts off in our parsha, and then it goes into the making of the kior, the laver, the washing station of the Mishkan. It goes to the Shemen HaMishcha, the anointing oil, the ketores, the incense, all the ingredients, and then we get to the story of Chet Ha'Egel, the sin of the golden calf. But why is that? What meaning? We could have just saved all the Mishkan stuff in the two Mishkan parshios before, and then, you know, make it nice and even. Have Truman Tetzaveh, have all the Mishkan things you need to know. Everything you wanted to know about the Mishkan is there. Then Kisisa, we focus on the story, the Chet Ha'Egel, horrible tragedy, the aftermath, the prayer, the reconnecting, everything like that. And then Vayaka Pekudeh would be the end. Why is it that we there's like a few leftovers? Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry. We already closed Parshas Tetzaveh. No, but I forgot to mention the Machzis ha-Shekel and the Kior. Please. Nope. Sorry. It's closed. Parshas Tetzaveh is closed. You're now in Kisisa. A few leftover Mishkan points. Why is that? So, I want to suggest that the problem. I think it's a simply understood point for why all of Klal Yisrael is held responsible. And the answer is the concept of even Klal Yisrael Zebazed that we're responsible for each other. But even more than that, Klal Yisrael have a role in this world. It's described by Yeshayahu as we're supposed to be Le'or Goyim, or often colloquially said, an Or Le'Goyim, a light unto the nations. We have a responsibility to drive the world away from paganism, away from idolatry, away from immorality, to introduce a world of morality, of ethical monotheism, teaching the world about Hashem, how to serve Him, how to build meaningful relationships with Hashem and the people around you. That's what we're supposed to be teaching the world. And when you're involved in Chet Ha'Egel, so you're completely undoing that. And even though it was a minority who actually did it, but the fact that the entire nation let a minority of strangers influence anyone, if even one Jew was influenced by the Erev Rav, and the rest of the nation didn't shut it down, if you can't even control a minority within your nation, how are you supposed to influence the rest of the world? So people that just stood by and didn't do anything, and didn't take achrayas, didn't take responsibility for their fellow Jew, so, you know, that's a terrible thing. Even if you didn't do the actual thing yourself, but you didn't care that somebody else was doing it. You didn't take responsibility. You didn't care that what was happening to your nation at that time. So you just stood by and let something happen, and that was a great sin. That's not just a great sin, but you fall short of your special, unique responsibility and your role in this world. You fell short of being Klal Yisrael. You were not Klal Yisrael. And I think that you can get a sense of this from the census at the beginning, the machzis ha-shekel. Many people speak about what it is. Why is it a machzis ha-shekel, a half shekel? Right? Well, you don't. If you're getting your mishloach manos, you don't like getting half a cookie, right? No one wants the half of something. Why is it that we ask for a machzis ha-shekel, a half shekel coin? And many explain that there is half a shekel indicates that you're only half a person, that you need somebody else to join you. That I cannot be complete without another Yid, without another Jew. I am not complete. I need somebody else. There's an idea of achrayus, of responsibility for a fellow Jew, that I am incomplete on my own, and if I don't have somebody else, I can't achieve shlemus, I can't achieve a completion, I can't reach where I'm supposed to reach without somebody else. And that message of the machzis ha-shekel is something that is the prelude to the Chet Ha'Egel. If you take this message to heart about the machzis ha-shekel, I'm responsible for every other Jew, then everyone would not be involved in Chet Ha'Egel, would also stand up and shut it down and make sure it didn't take place. And I think you could also say the same thing about some of the other points here. For example, the ingredients of the ketores. Some people, Chazal speak about it. The ingredients of the ketores, there were 11 ingredients. We read about them just so Hashanah is on Shabbos, right after Ein Chilkenu, Petuma Ketores, and Nesach Svar does it every day. Svardim do it as well every day. We read these 11 ingredients. One of them was known as Chelbana, and it was a very foul-smelling spice, but it had to be included. If you were missing it, the whole Ketores was possible. The whole thing was invalid. The incense was invalid. If you didn't have that foul-smelling spice, it has to be part of it. So the inclusion of every single Jew, no matter what, to make sure that they're part of the minyan, that's also part of the message of the Ketores. And I think you can also further look into some of the other points. But even just starting with the Maksas HaShekel, that message needs to be very, very clear that we are not complete without the rest of Klal Yisrael. We need to make sure that everybody is on board, because we have a job to do for the rest of the world. We don't have to be going in the streets and standing on soapboxes and preaching what they should be doing. But if we are doing what we should be doing, and all of Klal Yisrael is gathered together doing the right thing, so we can demonstrate a utopian society, but like real utopia, that the rest of the nations can look at and say, wow, that's incredible, that's inspiring. But we need to be there first. And we need to take responsibility for Klal Yisrael. And if we see the Chet HaEgel taking place, don't, okay, whatever, none of my business. You do something, get in there, and make sure that this doesn't happen. So when it's a minority, the heir of Rav running the show, and you say, okay, whatever, let it be. You let Hur, the leader of the Jewish people. Hur is one of the leaders. Moshe said at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, Moshe said, okay, Aaron, Hur, I'll be right back 40 days. If anything goes wrong, you guys take care of it. Because also Hur was killed. And they pressured Aaron, but if Aaron had the support of the millions of Jews who did not agree with the Egel, who did not agree with that approach, if they would have properly supported Aaron and Hur, we wouldn't have had this problem. So it's important to see something, say something, to step up and make sure that Klal Yisrael is doing the right thing, and make sure that the noises of idolatry and anything else that's speaking up we shut that down. That we make sure that we're living up to the Klal Yisrael that we can be, and Yetzer Hashem. Through that, we should then be zocha to bring the world to its perfected state. Good.